The speakers for this morning's message, I Will Be True Regardless, are artists, celloists, violinists, and so much more. Excuse me. They can pray and move the hand of God. They bring smiles and a spirit of joy by their mere presence. They are courteous and respectful and a joy to work with. They are also deep thinkers, tech savvy, they're creative. They have feelings and emotions. Some are introverts, some are extroverts. Some are active, and some are comfortable being sedentary. Some are comfortable in front of the camera, and others are not. Michael, Josiah, Daniel, Drake, Alexia, Ethan, Eliana, and Wesley are adventurers or pathfinders who demonstrate their growth in grace by their willingness to serve when asked and by their pleasant dispositions. They're just a sample of the gifts and talents that make up both the Adventurer and Pathfinder clubs of the Pisgah Seventh-day Adventist Church. They have an influence with their peers that is positive, and with the guidance of their parents and guardians, loving and involved church members, and God's ministering angels, they're being trained in the way they should go. Each child, like the Bible characters they will be speaking about, is unique and come from varied circumstances. But like those Bible characters, they're being used by God to show the love, patience, and power of our Creator. Like Timothy, it can be said of them that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Good morning, church family. My name is Michael. I'm currently part of the Pisgah SDA Scorpions Pathfinder family. I've been chosen to read you guys a script today. It is called A Little Boy Who Served God. It is based off Samuel. There was this woman called Hannah in the Bible. Hannah was a very religious woman. She spent her days praying and trying to serve God by being a good woman and a good wife. She wanted to be a good mother too, but she did not have children. This made her very sad. One day, she went to the temple, her house of worship, to pray to God for a son. She sat outside the temple, crying and praying. She prayed to God, reminding God that she was God's servant and wanted but only one thing only. Then she made a promise. She said, "Oh God Almighty, if you will only see me in my misery and remember me by giving me a son, then I will give you my son to serve you, God, for all the days of his life." This is based on 1 Samuel 1:10 through 11. Several months later, Hannah gave birth to a son. Hannah named her son Samuel, which means heard of God or the name of God, to remind him the special circumstances and commitments surrounding his birth, and that his life purpose was to serve the Lord. The birth of Samuel was a testimony that the Lord heard Hannah's plea for a child and accepted her vow. Baby Samuel lived with his family and they loved him very much, but when Samuel was old enough, Hannah made a good honor promise to dedicate him to God. She took Samuel to live to the temple with the priest Eli, and Eli promised to take good for him. Every year, Hannah and Samuel's father visited him at the temple. Samuel did not want his mother to be lonely, so he blessed her and prayed for her. She had more children and was a good mother too. How did God use Samuel? As a child, Samuel served at the temple, ministering to God with the priest Eli. He was a faithful young servant who had God's favor. But high priest Eli's sons Hophni and Phinehas were no good. They did very bad things and got others to disobey God too. Eli should have them removed from being priests, but he did not. Young Samuel did not let any of these bad things going on to the temple cause him to stop serving God. How was Samuel called by God? Because so few people really love God, it was a long time since God has spoken to any human. When Samuel grows a little older, this is what happens. Samuel is asleep in the temple when a voice wakes him up. He answered, "Here I am." And he gets up and runs to Eli and says, "You called me, and here I am." But Eli answered, "I did not call you. Go back to bed." so Samuel went back to bed. Then there was a second call. Samuel! So Samuel got up and again ran to Eli. You called me, so here I am, he said. But Eli answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. So Samuel returned to bed. Samuel, the voice called a third time. So Samuel ran to Eli again. Here I am, for you must have been calling me this time, he says. Eli knew that it must have been God who was calling, so he told Samuel, go lie down once more, and if he calls again, you must say, speak, God, for your servant is listening. This is what Samuel said when God called again. God told Samuel that he is going to punish Eli and his sons. Later, Hophni and Phinehas died in battle with the Philistines. And when Eli heard what happened, he fell over, broke his neck, and died too. So God's word came true. This is based off 1 Samuel 3, 11-15. Samuel grew up and became the last judge of Israel. When he grew older, the people asked him, choose a king to rule over us. Samuel did not want to do this, because really, God is their king. But God told him to listen to the people. What do we learn from Samuel? Well, we must set our sights on God. Samuel is a good example for us. He did what was right even though he saw other people doing bad things. Samuel was a leader from the beginning. He loved God and always wanted to follow God's commandments. He honored his mother and father. He obeyed and respected their decision to send him to go live in the temple. He trusted God and wanted to serve him faithfully. From very little, he understood his position and his purpose. Children, brothers and sisters, please close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. We must ask God for wisdom, power, and to love, to change our hearts and make it pure, make it true, and make it more like him. Most faithful, holy Father in heaven, how great and merciful are you? Thank you for your love and kindness towards us. Nurture us and desire for what is pure and grant us with determination to persuade it. Help us to stay obedient to you and our parents, to keep your commandments close to our hearts, to walk in the righteous path as you set forward for us. There will be many more times where we'll be unsure of the right decisions to make. Please, direct us in such a way that will be very best will always happen to us, for us. Father of integrity and uprightness, may goodness, honesty, honor, purity, righteousness, virtue, and truth be a shield for protection all around us. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Happy Sabbath.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Hello, everyone. Happy Sabbath, JoJo.
Happy Sabbath.
What person in the Bible will we be talking about today?
King Josiah.
And how old was Josiah when he became a king?
8 years old.
Good job. Now, what did the high priest find when he was cleaning and repairing the temple?
God's word on the scroll.
Good job. So when King Josiah heard the words in the scroll, what did he do?
Write to the people.
Very good. Do you know why all the people were not celebrating the Passover every year?
They lost it.
They forgot about God's law.
God's law.
Now, today, how do we know how to obey God?
Read the Bible.
Good. Anything you want to tell everyone?
No, thank you.
Read the Bible every day.
Read the Bible all day.
So we can be like Jesus.
Like Jesus.
Yeah, so you can be like Jesus.
Be like Jesus.
Now you can say bye.
Bye.
Have a blessed Sabbath, everyone.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. My name is Daniel, and today I'll be speaking about Joash. Joash was a baby. His nurse was telling him,
stop crying because the wicked queen, Athaliah, wanted to kill him. Then he wouldn't be king. When he was 7 years old, he became king. The tabernacle had holes because of the wicked queen. His father Jehoiada hid him in the tabernacle so the wicked queen can't tell her soldiers to kill him. When he learned everything he needed to, he went on the long procession so he could be king. And the trumpets were sound. The wicked queen heard. She said, "Take this boy away." But she took her away instead and killed her. The walls still had holes, and there was not enough money in the treasure room. And if you don't have money, then you can't build walls. He said to his helpers, "Let's take a random empty treasure chest, so when the people stop by to worship, they could put coins in them." Day after day, the treasure chests were filled to the rim. Soon there was enough money to replace the walls. Then one day, they brought the money to replace the walls. Joash reigned for 40 years. Then one day, Jehoiada was getting old. Everyone gets old. Joash lost his helper. He lost God. He fell into sin. After that, based on my sermon, Joash was king at 7 years old. After Jehoiada died, he fell into sin. Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you.
Amen.
The childhood of Jesus, from birth to 12 years of age. As everyone knows, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was raised by Mary and Joseph and grew to be what we know today. Jesus in his 12-year-old years made the Passover visit to Jerusalem, showing that Jesus was very helpful as a child and followed his religion. In 1 Timothy 4:12, it states, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, and in faith, and in purity." This verse shows what Jesus represented in his boyhood and how he showed it by doing his part in speaking out to others. Because Jesus showed this to others, he lifted people higher and showed them the power of God. Because of his acts and his impact as a child, he became the person we know today, Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High God.
Amen. Greetings, church.
Welcome, friends. Father, be with me as I share your words with your people. Amen. The topic of my sermon is the little maid. The memory text. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. My little sister, Eliana, is afraid of the dark. She finds it hard to go to sleep each night without some light being lit in her room. The light brings her comfort, which allows her to go off to sleep. Whenever this light brings to us darkness, which includes illness and disease, we can let our light of faith in Jesus shine into this darkness. This will help to bring comfort and relief to people. The term leprosy, including leprosy, occurs 68 times in the Bible, 55 times in the Old Testament, and 13 times in the New Testament. In the Bible, the instances of leprosy most likely meant a variety of infectious skin diseases. Today, it is called Hansen's disease. Someone with leprosy had to be quarantined, just like those who have the COVID-19 virus. If you had leprosy, it was a serious problem. Let's look at this story about a man who had leprosy and about God's grace through him through one of his servants. Church, God loves everyone. He wants us to bring light to those trapped by the darkness of this life. Naaman was the captain of the army of Aram, which is Syria. He was a very successful captain. He was a very close friend of the king, but he had a very big problem. He had leprosy. His skin began to dry up. It became white and was falling off. And he was even losing his ability to feel things. Leprosy was at the time a disease that no doctor could cure. There was a little maid that worked for Naaman's wife. She was one of the captives of one of Naaman's raids. She's now living among Israel's enemies. But she did not forget the great things that Jesus has done for his people and how loving he wanted his people to be. One day, she went to Naaman's wife and told her husband that her husband should visit the prophet of Israel so that he could heal him of his leprosy. Naaman must have seen the best doctors in his country, but no one could help him. He must have tried the best medications, but nothing worked. He was desperate. The prophet in Israel, Elisha, was his last hope. So Naaman led a troop of soldiers to Israel. He took a lot of treasure with him to pay for his medical treatment, a miracle cure. However, Elisha did not give him any medicine. He sent his servant to him to tell him to go and wash himself in the River Jordan. Naaman was upset. He was angry that Elisha did not even speak directly to him. He must have been expecting Elisha to ask God to do something great, but all he was told to do was to dip himself in the dirty Jordan, not only once, but 7 times. He had had it. He was ready to go home. If he was about to get a bath, he would do it at home. In the clean rivers back home, the Jordan was a muddy stream, and he was not about to wash himself in that dirty river. Fortunately, one of his servants stopped him. He said to him, "If Elijah had asked you to do some great thing, would you have done it?" He said, "Surely." His servant then said, Why are you having a problem with doing such a little thing?" He thought about it and then decided to do what the prophet of the Lord had asked him to do. He went to the Jordan River. 6 times he lowered himself into the Jordan River. Nothing happened. As he rose from the water the 7th time, something happened. His dry, pale skin was gone. He was covered with the soft skin of a baby. Not only was Naaman changed on the outside, he was changed on the inside. And he said, "I know that the God of Israel is the only true God. Only the love of God can make a captive girl shine her light into my darkness. Only the power of God can work miracles through the prophet Elisha. Only the grace of God can help a foreign warrior with his sickness. God wants to give his gifts and grace even to you. Also, God wants to use us to bring light into the lives of others. Please shine for Jesus today, just like the little maid did." The memory verse: "From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." Be a blessing to someone today. Let your light shine. Be a vehicle of God's grace to someone today.
Moses was not corrupted. It will be traditions. nations that looked to heavenly light to become one of the histories, his stories, the guest, greatest leaders. Prophets, by giving light. When the sons of Jacob did the same things, came into Egypt, they were given part of the country for the home. They did. They did not have to pay taxes. They were given lots of food during the famine. Well, because of what Joseph did to save Egypt, Pharaoh told everyone that it was because of God's mercy that Egypt was saved. But when Joseph and Pharaoh died. There was a king. Yeah, he pretended not to know who Joseph was and what he did for Egypt. The new pharaoh decided that the Israelites were a problem and needed to be stopped from becoming stronger than the Egyptians. So he ordered all baby boys in Israel to be thrown in the river. Now, Moses was born during a time when the Israelites had become slaves to the Egyptians. Pharaoh could not throw them out from the land because it was against the law. Moses was born to Aaron and Jochebed, who were from the tribe of Levi. Now, the spirit of Sultan, they believed that God would send Israel to Aaron from bondage, and so they had their baby. They were those
babies.
Hebrews. Short sound. Okay. Hebrews 11 verse 23 says, by faith Moses' parents had him for 3 months after he was born because they saw
he was
an orderly
child.
Yeah.
They were not
afraid of the king's command, but she could no longer keep it safe. Moses' mother made a little ark of precious slime and pinched it, put the baby in the left and at the river's edge. Moses was bound by the Egyptian princess Miriam, who was watching the little ark to the princess and told her that she knew of the Hebrew nurse maid.
So
Moses' mother came to take her son, the nurse maid, from the princess until he was old enough. And then she returned him back to the princess.
Amen, Ethan.
So shape, minds, and character, Ellen White wrote in Inventor's Home, Chapter 39. Especially does a responsibility rest upon the mother. She, by use life, blood the child in is nourished and nourished and is its physical frame built up in parts to it also mental and spiritual influences that tend to the shaping of the mind and character. It was Jochebed, the Hebrew mother, who strong in faith was not afraid of the king commandment of whom from was born Moses, the deliverer of Israel. It was Hannah, the woman of prayer and self-sacrifice and heavenly inspiration who gave birth to Samuel, the heaven-instructed child, the incorruptible
judge,
the finder of Israel, sacred schools. It was Elizabeth, the king's woman, and kindred spirit of Mary of Nazareth, who was the mother of the Savior's herald. Moses would grow up in Egypt. He did not accept their ways or beliefs. He would commit murder and flee from Egypt, but he would also find God and be chosen to deliver Israel from slavery and to bring about the destruction of a nation. But by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded this disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 28.
Amen.
Happy Sabbath and good afternoon. I'm Wesley and I'm part of the Pisgah Scorpions Pathfinder Club, and I'll be reading from New King James Version. So I'm going to give a little insight into something about the three Hebrew boys' names, because I thought it would make this sermon long enough for 5 to 7 minutes. So Hananiah means God is my judge. Babylonian name, named Shadrach command of Aku, idol. Mishael means Yahweh has been gracious. Meshach, I am little account. Azariah means Yahweh help. Abednego, servant of the Shining One, idol. From Daniel 1:17, as for these young men, identified as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. The three Hebrew youths appear to be mindful in their names given at birth and lived for God and focused on God. That is wisdom. Ecclesiastes 2:13 says, then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. Finally, the theme, hold out the light. I found this verse while I was perusing through the Bible, and it said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, John 9:5. Now, what I get from that is if we believe in God, his word, we are a part of him, son and daughters of light, and we must hold on to him as always. I've realized something, and it's how difficult it is to make a sermon, and I just don't know how Pastor Baxter and other speakers do it. In Daniel 3:1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. In Daniel 3:4-6, then a herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and plastry, and symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, this is already a problem for the Hebrew boys, and if they didn't believe in the one true God, this wouldn't be a story of faith, would it? Now, I'm going to fast forward to Daniel 3:9, where one of the Hebrew boys spoke for his brothers and said, they said and spoke to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. O king, you have made a decree that everyone who hears this sound of the instruments and symphony with all kinds.
Yes, appreciate. I just wanted to say thank you, first of all, to the children. You guys did an awesome job, and wow, what great things God can do to his willing servant. So praise the Lord for each of you. Just wanted to acknowledge and thank God for your parents and guardians and those that worked with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Also wanted to acknowledge Betty Taylor, Cheryl Sello, Elin Johnson from the executive team of AEC, Sylvie, Bryce Ferrier, and the Breath of Life Dolphins and your whole family. In Belgrove, Josiah III, he will be our speaker this afternoon. So we pray you guys come back. And Wesley, we're gonna have Wesley come speak this afternoon, as mentioned. And just family and friends, Erica Brown and a whole host of other people. And to just welcome Najee, she is one of our new adventurers. And Dylan, I don't know if Dylan was on, but just wanted to just thank you guys so much just for the support and for all the parents are counselors. We're all staff here. So every child that's here, every parent, grandparent, those are all our counselors. So it makes the job so much easier. And thank you, parents, friends, grandparents, loved ones, that came on. Praise God. And I have definitely been blessed and my heart warmed, and I know heaven is rejoicing.